Well, before we get into Mongolia, just a couple family matters we want to be praying for, of course. Marcia Helvey and passing away of John, and I'm going to ask a moment of prayer here for her, but as well for the Browning family, Judy Browning, and the funeral we had just last week. These folks are enjoying a great day today, but their families need some prayer. Also, the news of what's been going on in the Middle East, I'm sure many of you know all about that. It should be surprising to us in any way that this is happening. This has always been going on. This conflict has been going on since Bible days. This isn't anything new. It's hard to watch the innocent, if you want to use that phrase, on both sides, the children, those who aren't engaged in all the political stuff, getting caught in this. But we're going to pray, take a moment to pray for the nation of Israel. I think that's appropriate, that God will open their eyes to see and understand and love their Savior who died for them and rose again, but also just that our country will be on the right side of this conflict and hold firm and hold fast for God's people as we pray for their and our own nation's repentance and cry unto the Lord. So let's take a few moments. First of all, let's just pray for Marcia and Judy's family as well. Ask God for help for them. Lord, we give thanks that you are the God of all comfort and hope, and we are thankful so much that we know that those who have gone in the presence of the Lord are having a wonderful time in your presence, absent from the body, present with you. Yet those who are behind, Lord Jesus, you understand that feeling and the funeral that you attended and seeing the sorrow and the hopelessness of so many and how it brought you to even tears to think about how far mankind has fallen, even the nation itself. And Lord, we just want to pray for our church family and those who are walking through the valley of the shadow of death and those who have walked through it recently in recent months and recent years even. And for those who are even walking through a valley now, we don't know what valley it is, but it is a valley. And pray for their strength and confidence and hope in Christ. We're so thankful that we have a risen Savior. We want to think now and pause for a moment for your people, the nation of Israel. We recognize as there are at least abroad politically, they don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. But there are many that do that are there, many believers in Christ, and we would pray that you would allow them to continue to minister and do a great work. We know Israel's enemies are great, and we just want to pray, Lord God, that you would come alongside and protect your people. Help them, Lord, though, during these times, not to look just to themselves for resources or even the United States necessarily, but look to you, Lord God, for help. And in that process, Father, we pray that their eyes would be opened and they would come to know and to love you and recognize the one that was here several thousand years ago was the very one who loves them and is calling them to himself. We realize and we know according to the Word of God that once their eyes are open, we're going to see missionaries like we've never witnessed before. We pray for that, Lord, because your mission goes beyond Israel. They're just a conduit. It is to the whole world. For this gospel is for all who believe. For God so loved the world. And we thank you for that. We pray that our country as well would come to a state of repentance and quit depending upon itself and its own, what they think is power. Because, Lord, you're the one that gives protection and power and blessing. And we ask their Father that our leaders would recognize that and that we would be supportive of your people, Lord, protect them. And for all the hurting families over there even now and what's happening, Lord God, would you put your shield around them and protect them. We thank you for this gospel, and we thank you for the nation of Israel and the people of Israel, which this gospel came through to us, so we are blessed. We are blessed through that. I pray now, Lord, for our time and that we have, and considering what you're doing around the world, and especially in the country of Mongolia, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So, well, it was a fantastic trip. Like I said, getting started was a little rough, but it all worked out. My plane was instantly delayed in Indianapolis for like an hour and a half, but I only had a 30-minute layover in Chicago. Wasn't sure how that was going to work out. But come to find out, as I got to Chicago, praying the whole time, once I landed there, that plane was 2 hours late, so it worked out well. It was all right. And they got us to San Francisco and on our way. Throughout this morning, I thought I'd maybe engage some of you, the folks here, and I was going to do it by age, but it's okay. The young might have a little more of an advantage because of their ability to get up. But I'll have questions. That sounded really bad. I'm sorry. Get up more quickly. How's that? I'll have some questions here and some things I have prizes up here as well. If you like, let's see. These are fruit snacks. Ooh, those are good. And anybody like Smarties? And I got chocolates, of course, for those of you who are chocolates. So, went to Mongolia for a week, and I would like for the first prize would be for anyone. You have to be called on, okay? I probably won't get the first one, but I'll get the first one I see. Who knows? Who can name? There are three countries that border Mongolia. Who can name at least two of them? All right, stand up and say it loudly. Yes, Russia and China. Come on down and get your prize. What's the third one? Anyone know? You happen to know the third country? You don't know? Sorry. No, all right. Which one would you like? You want all three. All right, there you go. Kazakhstan. So, all right, let's see if I could get a picture of that for you. How does this go? It's either going to go backwards or forwards. Hey, there it is. All right. So you see that little dot there on the left? That's Kazakhstan. There it is. Someone might wonder how big Mongolia is. Mongolia is pretty good-sized country. This is not the lower region, but it covers quite a few states. Now, I thought it would be fun to just kind of compare with Indiana a little bit. Some quick facts here. This is the area size. 94,000 approximately square miles in Indiana, 1.5 million miles in Mongolia. So it's about 16 times larger than Indiana. But look at the population. There's 6.8 million people living in Indiana, but there's only 3.26 million people living in the entire country of Mongolia. So a lot more land, a lot fewer people. Median age is kind of close. 37.4 and 29.8 years in Mongolia. Median income, look at that discrepancy there. $70,000 versus $1,896. We don't even think about that, but that is about it. And then one more, life age expectancy is not too far away, 77, 72. So that was kind of fun. Just thought maybe you'd want to see compared Mongolia with Indiana a little bit. A little bit about the trip. Left on Thursday evening and started here. Good working my way through Chicago eventually. And there we go, all the way to spent the night there in San Francisco. That's where I met Doug Barber, our missionary. He came up from Dallas and met us there. He was on a late plane as well, so we basically landed almost at the same time, 2 hours late. But we got there and got to the hotel, spent the night for a couple hours, got up the next day, and went across the ocean to Seoul, Korea, where we had a very long layover there, and then from there to Ulaanbaatar, and then from Ulaanbaatar all the way to the place where the venue were at, which wasn't that far. So the actual flying time was only 22 hours approximately. But we left on Thursday evening, and we got there Sunday morning, so you can see all that was quite a bit. Now, it is 12 hours later there, so it was about 40 hours overall. Now, here we have, while I was in the Seoul airport, they have different concerts, cultural things that go on. This was unique. So here's another prize. First one, what flag is that? Yeah, I'm going to have to raise your hand. Yes. Yes, South Korea, come on down here. Get yourself a prize. Would you like a Smartie? Would you like fruit snacks? Or do you want chocolate? Chocolate? Oh. All right, take a couple chocolates there. All right, that's good. Okay, so that's right, that's Korea. Now, I thought you guys might want to hear a little bit of this. I know it's a kind of a flute on steroids. Another one here. You may not think this one is quite as pretty. That's enough of that. All right. Somebody might really like that. I just thought it was really kind of unique, and I thought, you know, that's how I sound on my fiddle, on the Mongolian fiddle. I thought maybe I'm Korean, not Mongolian. I don't know. But those were kind of the neat things. Well, we finally landed in this. That's the, oops, let me go backwards here. That's the new airport, Genghis Khan. Doesn't that look like some kind of a, I don't know, an alien that landed on planet Earth? It's kind of cool, doesn't it? Anyway, they have this beautiful airport. We're thankful for that. So we finally got to the capital city. Let me see if I can get this to go. Boom, there it is. Ulaanbaatar, or UB. So throughout this morning, when I say UB, that's what I'm talking about. It's the capital city. I just don't want to say the whole word. So UB. How many people, then, you already had the answers given to you earlier, lives in Mongolia? How many people, approximately? Yes, right there. Stand up. Oh, that's close enough. Come on down here and get yourself something. You want chocolate, fruit snacks, or Smarties? Fruit snacks. You did a good job. You got to catch it. All right. All right. Good job. Now, if you remember, I haven't told you, but those of you who have seen these before, you should remember this one. Approximately how many people would live in UB, the capital city? Nobody wants to give it a shot? Oh, all right, Tina. Oh, you're so close. No. Good try. Anyone else? Yes. Yes! 50%! Good job. So do you want a Smartie, a fruit snack, or chocolate? You personally don't want chocolate, but you'll take a fruit snack. There you go. All right. Good job. Yeah, about 1.6 million people, half the population of the country, lives in this one city. Now, there are like three universities there, just so you know. And that's, the young people are everywhere. In fact, there's one section of town, the first time I went, you've probably heard this story, I'm walking around and I'm going, oh my goodness, is this like one big high school? Because that's all it was. And then I finally found the other side of town where I lived. So, see, there were people there. It's a beautiful country. It's got a lot of modern conveniences. It's got a great cultural center there in the center. And here's another question. What national hero is figurine right there on the left in the center? You see it in the back there? Just kind of a silhouette. Who might that be? Yes? You got it! Come on down, Harold. Get yourself something here. You want a Smartie, a fruit snack, or chocolate? All right, chocolate. Here, You pass those on to your wife as well, all right, in case she likes it. So good job. All right, that's right. Genghis Khan, here he is. We'll see him a little bit later as well. We also have just, you know, some cool, this is a one evening, people will just gather. It's this huge place in the center of town. In fact, a lot of the towns and cities will have these large, large areas wide open for families just to come. And so you'll see all kinds of food trucks, bikes, skateboarding. They were playing soccer and volleyball here, which was interesting because all the people were around. But it was just kind of a lot of fun to watch. With a large city as well, though, you have some other strange things. Open grazing is a law there, so wherever the cows want to go, the cows go. And you don't get in their way, you just let them go by. There were a few times I thought we were going to cream a few cows, but they got out of the way. And they also have some of the difficult things. There's a lot of poverty in there as well. If you know anything about UB, it's a bowl. They have all these mountains that surround it, and it's down here, and it just is full of smog, and it could really create health and asthma issues. Well, we weren't there for very long. We were overnight there. There's quite a few churches there, however, that are doing great work. Hopefully we'll get into those. It's about an hour drive. You see, it was a nice road. And along the way, we saw some of the things you probably think you would see. What is this called? I can't raise your hand. Yes, a yurt. That's correct. What's another name for it? I'll give a one for her. And it's also called something else. Anyone know? You still get your prize. What would you like, chocolate or Smarty or smooth fruit snack? I could throw you a fruit snack, you sure? All right, there you go. Woo! Good job. Orioles could have used you the other night. All right. That's okay. It's called a gur as well. A gur, yes. And I think I have a picture of an inside of one. Yes. This is a fancy one, though. Trust me, they're not like this, most of them. That's a heated floor. And when you walk in there, it was like really cold outside. This is from a few trips ago when we were out there. Everybody was really cold outside. As soon as we stepped in, it was like 95 degrees. It was really hot in there. And the floor was heated, so you don't have any issues in the winter times. All right, so do you remember the nice roads? Well, that's only near the city. So sometimes you just make up roads. Here we go. Yeah, it's not so bad during the daylight. It's bad, but you should try it at night. You don't know if you're going to go off the edge. They know where they're going, but I didn't know where I was going all the time, and I wasn't driving, thank the Lord. So sometimes they just make up the road. And along the way, we are reminded of the stranglehold that false religion has upon this nation. These are everywhere, in the city, next to the city, outside the city, on the ground, usually up high if you go hiking up in the mountainous areas. Yeah, woo, it's tough. There's a main religion, however, in Mongolia. This is worth some candy. What is the main religion in Mongolia? Anyone want to guess? For a piece of candy, anybody? All right, yes. It would not be Islam. But I'll eat your candy for you. Yes. What is it? You're kind of, that's not the name of it, but you're along the right line. You're confused a little bit. He's close. Someone else? Yes. Yes. Come on down. Buddhism. All right. Would you like chocolate, a Smartie, or no, I got plenty of these. Which would you like? Smarties, there you go. That's my favorite. Good job. All right, so yes, Buddhism, of course, it's Tibetan Buddhism, which is a whole other lecture we won't get into. However, you would have thought that would be it. It's mixed with shamanism, and so there is a lot of syncretism in Mongolia. Religions here pulled all over the place. In fact, I was interviewing one of the leaders there, and they said, it may be called Buddhism, but it's not Buddhism. It's got all kinds of things poured into it. And this is the problem, because it can get infiltrated into the church as well. Christianity can get pulled into it. So this is where the problems come from. But there's a rising other religion that's taking over both shamanism and Buddhism, and it is unfortunately atheism. So it has risen quite a bit over the last few years. Buddhism would have normally been around 50% of the people, and normally it's the older people that are Buddhists. The middle generation, and I'm not quite sure for them, that's probably 30 to 50, 55. Many of them people are atheists. They might follow traditional things that their mothers and fathers do, but they don't believe it. They don't believe in God at all. But there's some really good news. Christianity has just skyrocketed over the last few years. And the battleground is the children. And the churches are realizing this, and they are developing so many programs for them. And many children are coming to faith in Jesus Christ and having an influence on their parents. Not always winning them over, of course, because they're very traditional. But many of them are coming, so we're thanking the Lord for that. So, just a few miles, we finally arrived. It took about an hour and a half to get there because of the road system. That's pretty good, though. That little building down there on the left, that's where we were at. This is outside. Been going here for a few years. I didn't even know it was next to a national park, and it is. And so I looked it up, and this is where we were. And a few miles down the road, this is what it turns into. Someone who went with us said, this is kind of like the American West. You have kind of the hills are kind of barren, and all of a sudden you can go into a national park in America, and it could be beautiful with all the green grass and beautiful trees. We were on the very edge of that for a long time and didn't get a chance to go in there. And I did take some pictures of them when I had an opportunity to hike this time. This is near the top of one place. So there are some signs of life. I didn't see any brown bears. Apparently, this place has got lots of brown bears and wolves everywhere. Didn't see any of those, thank the Lord. Sunset. Let's see here. This supposedly was the highest peak. I've been wanting to climb this thing for several years, and I said, I may not go back. I'm going for it. So I grabbed Doug, and I said, let's go. Our problem was we were fighting time. It took us an hour and a half just to get up there. So the sun was starting to go down, and we had a long ways to go down. And I think that's the top. Just please ignore that peak to the left, which looks a lot higher. All right. And there is that stranger to the right. That's a yak, or that's Doug, one or the other. And he took a picture of me, and I wasn't supposed to show this because he said, your wife's not going to be happy with you. You can't tell, but I'm basically on the edge of a cliff where it goes down about almost a mile to your death. So, but I said, I won't fall, promise me. So he was a lot smarter than I was where he was at there. Let me see, where am I at with Doug? There he is. Well, let's talk a little bit about why we went. I think that's important, right? It was all about the gospel. And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses and trusted faithful men who will be able to teach others also, that's why we go with Triumph Ministries to develop discipleship. It's all about the Word of God and helping develop leaders who up until around 1990 didn't really have a copy of God's Word at all. And there were very few Christians in the country at all. There were some missionaries that would cross the border from time to time and try to do some work over those years. The communists, if you remember, the communists kind of took over around 1920, 1921, and they pretty much said no religion. And a lot of Buddhist monks and shamans were butchered, murdered, and they burned down all the temples, and they said, no Christianity, no anything. And so that's why a lot would be, a lot of them kept their Buddhism, but they had to do it from the inside. They couldn't practice it outside. And atheism arose from there. But then in 1990, when the wall went down, remember, opened up the door for Christianity to come into Mongolia. So our mission was to provide biblical, theological, and practical training to church leaders. We did that in three ways, of course. I was there to do the Romans, the biblical side, teaching the book of Romans. We had a gentleman there that was teaching the study of the Holy Spirit, systematic theology, and then two practical courses were given, leadership training, which the Mongolians ran themselves, and also pastoral counseling. Here were the four American teachers. Some of you may know these names or may not. Of course, Doug and myself were there. And then Dave Culver, he's been there before. He was a pastor there at Shawnee Hills Baptist Church in Ohio for many years, just retired. And also David Hamilton has been a retired pastor. So those were the Americans that were there. And here's a picture. It's not a very good one, but part of my class that was there. Here is a photo of most of them. I had the largest class. I think there were like 14 or 15 of us. This isn't all of them. Some of them on the last day, on the last session, had to leave and go back. One of them, this is kind of a unique story, one of them is a hospital administrator and surgeon there in UB. He just got saved, and he was so excited about the Lord, he said, I need more training. So he's coming to this training. I don't know how he did it, honestly. His phone was burning all the time. I had to go back and forth to UB, and I don't know if he was doing surgeries or if he was doing administrative work. I really don't know. But he would come back, and he says, my ministry are those doctors and nurses in that hospital. And so that's what he's getting more training for, so that he can go back and be better, more effective in the hospital. He was a delight to talk to. Some of you always ask this question, so let's see here. Here's the menu. Meat with rice, meat with slaw, and we have some veggies with more meat. But every once in a while, there was a break, and we had meat with pasta. They love their meat. And it's at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and even snacks. One of the favorites there, of course, is milk tea. Have you had the joy of drinking that, anyone? It's an acquired taste. So I acquired it so much, I took chocolate Swiss cocoa packets and poured it in there. And all the Mongolians sitting around me going, what are you doing? Anyway, until they tasted it, and then it was like, woohoo! All right. Yeah, I didn't share anything. All right, here we go. We were able to go. I had 8 sessions with my Romans, and yes, I did make it through. Obviously, it was kind of a survey course, but we were able to make it through, and we had a long quiz game at the end, and they did really, really well. It's amazing how they're, I don't know if they're oral learners or what, but they retain information very, very well and remember what you told them. It was very, very pleased. And a lot of great questions. So with that, at the end of Friday afternoon, we finally were free, but not for very long because we had a plane flight the next morning early. We had a couple hours to get out and do a very few things, but we were able to do a couple things. We got to see some sights. So back to our friend, Miss. Some of you have seen this before. This is the largest statue, I believe, or steel statue in the world. It's a 130 feet tall statue of Chinggis there. This is a picture I showed you guys, I think, 8 years ago. And this is the same picture, I believe. It's starting to develop more and more for tourism to come in. And they are building all these venues everywhere and resorts. And you would think it's for the outsiders like us. Not really. Mongolians go there. Lots of Mongolians will go there. Many of them work in the mines, and it's kind of a rotation. I don't know the exact schedule, but just to give you an example, they may work for 30 straight days in the mines, and then they may get 3 weeks off, and this is where they'll go. They're told to go out, get away from the city, and get fresh air, and they'll come, and they'll go back to the mines, and that cycle goes on and on. Not all the time, but that's one of the things. So Friday night, after some sights, we had quite a historic event, and it's such a moving experience to see what God has done over the years. Quite a transition. There have been Bible translations that have been done, and there have been some new projects going on. One of them was the first Mongolian concordance in their particular culture. There's concordances, but the words don't match, as you know, so they have to have something for their culture and their language. This project has been going on for a very long time, and it has finally been accomplished and done, and it was printed. this was a celebration here of some folks. This is what I would call the who's who of Bible translation in Asia. I didn't even know who I was standing around, but some of these, I got pictures of one or two of them. Here's the concordance itself. They made a decision. It will be online eventually, but they thought really with all their studies that having a printed copy was the best. Because online is spotty at best in the country, and they thought, especially for the majority of the country being out in the steep or the wide open spaces, having a book with you, with your Bible, would be advantageous versus trying to get on your phone and trying to find some kind of a Wi-Fi. They wanted to go this route, not that they won't use it the other as well. So they had some of these printed here. And the organization, you can look it up, is the Mongolian Union Bible Society that did this. We were able to tour their facilities there. During the night of that celebration, I ran into this gentleman. And he didn't look quite Mongolian to me, and he wasn't. He was Japanese. But he loved the Mongolian people, and he had been translating for many, many, many years. In fact, he was part of this project, but he's also part of a larger project and for the Charles Ryrie Study Bible. I don't know if any of you have heard of that. It's quite both scripture and the translations and commentaries themselves. He's been part of the team that is finishing this up. He's been doing it for years. It's going to be ready this year, I believe, for production and to get out there for another tool for the pastors and just the layperson as well to have scriptures with some commentary about it as well. He was so excited about this concordance. He just couldn't, many of them couldn't hold back the tears. This is a great quote that I saw there, and I thought it's beautiful. Let me read it for you. This is from William Townsend, the founder of Wycliffe Bible Translators. The greatest missionary is the Bible in the mother tongue. It never needs a furlough and is never considered a foreigner. Pretty powerful words, isn't it? When I saw that, I said, that is the importance of having the Bible in your own language. That is the call we have been given on ours, not just for the American society and our friends, which we should be actively involved in sharing our faith, but we must always be involved in getting this word of faith out to the nations around the world. And we have so many partners that we don't even know about that God has raised up in other countries, Christians everywhere, that are partnering together to get this word of faith out. Here is a taste of the evening. This is a little bit long. This guy was amazing. You're going to see that he, by the way, here's the next question. What is this called? Ha, ha, ha. You're funny. You give me a piece of candy. Anyone else? It actually is a box violin, but that's not its name. I need a name. Anyone to give a try? Come on. I thought my own kids. Well, I guess they're not listening. Yes. No. Anyone else? I'm going to give you one hint. Yes, Mike. Woo. All right, Mike. You want a Smarty or you got grandkids, don't you? You know what? I'm just going to give you four Smarties things, and you can just let the grandkids come to you. You'll be the favorite grandpa today, but just for today. All right. So this guy was amazing, and he gave me a horse fiddle lesson. I just want you all to know. He really did. And I'm just going to sit back and let you enjoy this. You might have to turn it up.
Ah, I think it's a good thing.
Song, considering the message and all that was transpiring there, taking this wonderful word of life, the scriptures, and taking it to the nations. I didn't know what he was going to sing. I don't know if I've heard that song in church when the last time it was, but it took me back to my childhood because we used to sing it. And it just brought tears to everyone's eyes. You should have saw it. It was so much louder in the room itself. And you heard some of the Americans trying to remember the words. Who knows what they were saying? They got the wonderful words of life part right. We're going to try to sing that at the end if anyone wants to scramble and find that one, if it's in the system at all. But it was a beautiful moment to see these guys that have poured their life, their soul. They sacrificed so much so they could get this word of God and this word of faith out to their people. And you have been a part of that ministry. You need to know that. You have been a part of supporting that ministry with your giving, with your gifts, with your prayers. All this has gone to do just this. And it gets better. It really does get better. And we only have a few more videos here, but it is powerful. You would be very proud of your missionary, Doug. Servant of God. And what he has done, and he wrote the foreword to this concordance. So they asked him to speak, and I won't play all of it because this one's a little bit longer. I don't know if he got it recorded. I thought I'd do it for him, and it's too long for us to watch, but he's just a minute or so maybe. And this is Doug at his best, being Doug.
Okay. I was just trying to pray and think, what could I share? This is very exciting for me to see this concordance come out in Mongolia. It has been a tool in my life that God has used to help me study. But I kind of wonder if maybe there's some people that we know that might say, this is just one more thing I need to buy? I think many Christians will ask, is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you can see, as you see it displayed here, as you look at it, what worth is this? For it is a tool. A tool is something that's developed to help us do a job better than we could do without it.
So if you're interested, I can send you the full video. But there was a beautiful moment there where, as they're interacting, you can see the relief and the praise and the thankfulness all at the same time on the faces of these Mongolians who had worked so hard to get this out to their people, and they were so excited about it. And this picture here is really the last picture. I thought it was a typical. I did not expect to see this gentleman here. He was with us in our first class about 10 years ago. Younger student, and at that time, of course, this picture speaks a thousand words. Here's a man who got saved, called by God, went through the training, planted churches, and is now is being even advanced now into I don't even know his exact position, but now he's in administration and also serving the church and discipling other Mongolians. And this was a great picture because Doug was his first teacher, I believe, you know, and just seeing, or one of his first teachers, and just seeing they come full circle. As you know, Doug and Cheryl, they're getting ready to retire and move out. What do? How do we fill the holes? We fill those holes by discipling one another. Older men, you and I need to be involved in discipling younger men. I'd like to live to be 150 healthy years, but probably not going to get there. So what should we do? Disciple. Bring the text, the words to the younger generation. And this man, when I saw his face, I forgot his name, but he recognized me. Bingo! Right away. That's my Mongolian name. I told you about that, right? When I was there, the lady was, she didn't even know my name. She had translated me for 2 years. She just knew me as Pastor Bingo. Doug said, "Pastor Keith Treadway." She said, "Who's that?" Anyway, so this guy recognized me, and he was showing me pictures of his family and his children, and it was just a real blessing. And I thought, you know, Bible Baptist Church has been such a big part of this ministry. I wanted you to see the faces. I wanted you to see the people. Lives are being changed. Christianity is growing. It is a first century Acts church. I'm just telling you that right now. It's got all the great blessings of Acts, but it's got all the great challenges. With all the good comes all the bad. And so now there are more things needed to be able to get out and to put down false teaching, dealing with issues in the church. People are bringing their syncretism into the church. It's no different than America, right? And how do they deal with that? And that's what this training is about. And so thank the Lord that we've been a small part of this. But this picture is a beautiful picture of how discipleship is to work and then how we are supposed to be involved in it. The last slide I have here simply comes from Paul's Timothy. What you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust the faithful man who will be able to teach others also. You start that in your own home, and then you grab everyone else's children that you can, and the young men, the young adults here, and train them in the Word of God. And this is how it is until Jesus comes. These are beautiful words. These are wonderful words. And it reminds me of that text. I didn't read this, but I do want to read it. Let me get it for you. I believe it's John 6. This was after Jesus had given a very tough saying. It says, "And many after this talk of Jesus, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with Jesus." Can you imagine walking out of Jesus' church and not going back? Jesus' church. Just so you know, they did. So Jesus said to the 12, he turns to them and says, well, do you want to go as well? Do you want to go away? Old Simon Peter, we make fun of him, but here's one time he hit a home run. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen? We've got those words. They're beautiful words. They're wonderful words. We have copies of those words. They give life. Peter goes on to say, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Amen. Beautiful words of life, these scriptures. Do you know the Word of God? Do you know the God behind the Word of God? That's what this is all about. I thought we would close today by trying to sing this song. Some of you that know the melody, please help me out by singing. I kind of know it. Do we have the words? Praise the Lord. All right. You get a piece of candy, Jane, at the end of the day here. It's all right. Whichever you want. All right. Why don't we stand together? We're going to sing this along with our brothers and sisters in Mongolia. We're probably sleeping by now, but it's Monday there, I believe, or almost Monday. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Now, I'm a bass, so if I started out way too high, forgive me right away, but I'll give it the best I can.
Sing them over again.
I didn't do that. Woo-hoo. Whoa. Am I dead? All right. Maybe that was the Lord saying, please don't sing. Are we dead? Oh, we're on now. Okay. Woo. Let's try this one more time. Sing them over again to me. Morning, if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Pastor Brian shared how Christ loved you and me so much, we didn't seek him, that he came and offered these beautiful words of life, his own life, and then the way to him, the way to the Father. It comes by repentance, that is, agreeing with what God has said, turning around and following after him. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Those are beautiful words. Not by your works of righteousness that you have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And that's the beautiful words. Please don't go anywhere. Don't leave this place without getting your heart right with the Lord. Our Father in heaven, as we now move on from here into our rest of our Sunday and the rest of our week, may these beautiful words of life just resonate in our heart and our mind. And for those of us who have neglected this word for one way or another, we don't hate the word, we don't not like the Bible, but we haven't been really reading it as we ought. We haven't really been meditating on it as we ought. We haven't really been sharing it as we ought. I pray through your Holy Spirit, not me, through your Holy Spirit, you'll work in each one of our hearts to move us forward into obedience, to share and to live these wonderful words of life that Christ has given to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great sacrifice of love and your beautiful words. Help us not to be afraid or ashamed to share them with others. May we encourage one another now, Lord, with beautiful words of life. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.